Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for the reflection. One of my favorite things as a pastor is to teach the First Communion class, and I got to do that last Sunday. And one of the reasons I love to teach that class is because the children have wonderful questions. These are children that are second, third, and fourth grade, and they always astonish me with the questions. I learn as much as I teach when I am teaching that class. And for last Sunday, I asked them to bring me a list with all their questions. And I opened the class by listening to their question. I was not able to do anything other than listen to their questions. There were so many. But one of the questions that they had was fascinating. They asked a question of, how come we cannot see God? Or you could say, where can we see God? And given the fact that Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us, God in our midst, I think that that is a wonderful way to spend Christmas Eve pondering that question. How, indeed, can we see God? Or where have we seen God throughout this year? And so I am going to reflect the question right back to you. And I'm going to invite you to turn to the person right next to you. And before I tell you my opinion on where we see God in our midst, I want you to have an opportunity to talk to the person next to you about where and how you have seen God's presence this last year. And maybe you have not. And maybe that is a question that you want to ask the person next to you. Where has God been? If that's the case, feel free to do so. So let's spend 1 minute. We don't want to be here all night. So just 1 minute talking, and then we'll come back to the big room. Please go ahead. Okay, you can continue the conversation when you get back home over dinner. I heard here when you're about to get hit by a car and you don't. I see God's presence there. Where do you see God's presence? It's not a rhetorical question. Where do you see God's presence? Amen. Say more. Beautiful voices, worshiping, singing.
I see the Lord and the people that he places in our lives.
Amen. God comes through us with human hands. Okay. I'll give you my answer. That's what this story is all about. The story that we just heard. And we only heard a fragment of the story. The story continues with the persecution of the innocent, the persecution of the children, and baby Jesus having to go all the way to Egypt. That's what this story is all about. It tells us where, indeed, we can find God, or at least one of the places, because as you say, God is in many different places. God can be seen in many different ways. But this story helps us understand where God has chosen to be present. And it is astonishing. What we learn from this story about God's presence in the world, it's really astonishing. It's something that was unpredictable. When we enter the story and we search for God's presence in the story, perhaps we are tempted to first go to the angels where the shepherds are. And then we look at the angels with their glow and with that miracle, really. And we realize one thing. We realize that the angels announce the presence of God, but they are not the one that we're seeking. They're not the one that we're searching for. They point to him, but they're not him. Perhaps we are tempted to look for God in the stars, guided the Magi, because we do believe that God is in heaven, we say. And so maybe we want to look at the star, and we look for God in that miracle, in that astrological miracle. And yet, we don't see God there. The star points to the presence of God, but it's not itself God. And so when we listen to the angel, and when we follow the star, and we arrive at our destination, we are surprised by what we find. Because what we find is a baby. No halo, no wings, no glow, just a baby. Wrapped in cloth. And not just any baby, but a very vulnerable baby who had not a place to be born. So he had to be born in a manger, surrounded by animals, in really dirty conditions. And on top of that, the story tells us that this child was in danger, because the local ruler was afraid of a baby. He felt threatened by this child, and then persecuted the child. He sent soldiers to kill many, many children that were of the same age in hopes of getting him. Now, think about that. Think about the people witnessing that terrible situation. I imagine that they too would have asked, where is God? In the midst of all the suffering that we are witnessing, where is God? And they probably looked to the angels also, waiting for angels to come and help. And they also probably looked to the stars, trying to see some kind of miraculous event to happen. But they wouldn't see it. You know what they probably saw? They probably saw a man and a woman with a vulnerable child knocking on their door, asking for help, for a place to spend the night, as they were on their way to a foreign country seeking for asylum because they were afraid. And they probably received this family in their home. They probably held this child in their arms. They probably looked at the child, and the child looked back at them, not knowing that what they were witnessing was Emmanuel, God, in their presence. How many times, how many people probably received God in their lives, probably received God in their homes, the baby, and help him, and not realize that there was the presence of God. Many years later, when Jesus was already an adult, he was teaching to his disciples, and he told them a story about the end of times. He said that on Judgment Day, God would gather the peoples of the world and would judge the nations the way that a shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. And that he would say to those that were on his left, get away from me, because I was hungry, I was naked, I was in prison, and you never came to see me. You didn't clothe me, you didn't feed me. And then he turned to those on the right, and he said, come, enter into the joy of your father, because I was sick, and you came to visit me, because I was naked, and you clothed me, because I was hungry, and you fed me. And they asked him, when? When did we see you naked and gave you clothes? When did we see you hungry and fed you? When were you in prison and we visited you? And he said, whatever you did to these little ones, you did it to me. And whatever you did not do to these little ones, you didn't do to me. So you see, the answer that we get in this story about where we are to look for God in the world is astonishing, is surprising, is revolutionary. We are to see God in those that are asking for help, in those that are most vulnerable, in those that are in need of our help. Now, I heard a story very recently that opened my eyes to this. It was a story that happened many years ago during World War II, and there's a book written about it, A Good Place to Hide. How many of you have read that book, A Good Place to Hide? It's about a place in France. It's called Le Chambon sur Lignon. That is French with my Puerto Rican accent. It's a village in France that is a remote village, and they were able to hide people of the Jewish community that were hiding during World War II because they were being persecuted. And I don't need to tell you what happened to those that were found. And so in this community of French Huguenots, of Protestants, they were willing to hide them. And then when they were children, they were left behind because the parents were deported, or worse. They, in a sense, adopted the children in their homes and kept them there for sometimes 4 or 5 years. They would even help people go across the border and be able to get to Switzerland, where they were able to live in safety. And I also imagine people wondering, where is God in such a terrible situation as this? And they did not realize, maybe, that God was precisely there in that encounter of the need of the neighbor, in that love that calls us, that compels us to action. See, that encounter is like a spark And under that spark, under the glow of that spark, we're able to perceive the presence of God, even if for a fleeting moment. Or let me tell you another story. This is a more recent story. This was a family with two young children, 8-year-old and 6-year-old. And the parents had a relative who was in upstate New York. The family lived here in Fairfax County. And they decided to go and help, lend a hand to the relative who was in upstate New York. And they were able to help this relative. They were driving back. The problem was that there was a terrible, terrible snowstorm. This was very recent. And as they were driving back, they had a car accident. In that car accident, one of the relatives died. And the mother of these two children was injured severely and was in a coma for a long time. Now, at the same time, maybe not exactly the same time, but relatively speaking, there was a group meeting over dinner, a group from a congregation, and they were talking about how to celebrate Christmas. And one of the members of the congregation said, I want to issue a challenge to the church. I want the church to adopt a family in need. And then that challenge was brought to the congregation, and the congregation accepted the challenge. And they were able to raise enough money, not only to help one family, but two, not knowing that one of those families is the one that I'm just telling you about. And in case you have not noticed already, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about this congregation. It was thanks to you that then this family does not have to worry about paying rent this next month because of your generosity. See, it is in those small gestures that we can see the presence of God at work. Again, where there's the need of the neighbor and where there's that love that compels us to do something about it, there's the spark. There's the spark. And there's like that little flame, that little light. Later on in the service, we're going to have a light in our hands. We're going to have the candle in our hands. I hope that that is a symbol of that gentle presence of God in the world that might seem weak, oh, but it's so powerful, and it can transform the world, not from the outside in, not from the top to the bottom, but from within. It transformed the world like a little light. It's going to be dark in here, and then we're going to have one candle, two candles, three candles, and before we know it, you're going to see how the light dissipates the darkness. That is a symbol of how God is at work in the world. That's what we are celebrating today. Emmanuel, God in our midst. Amen.